You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're constantly hearing of geopolitical tensions rearing their heads across the world, with talks of great powers flexing their dominance, commercially, economically, militarily, brazenly. One area of such confrontation is the Pacific. But when we discuss this region, are we sidelining the peoples and nations who actually live there? Recently, the Associate Dean Pacific at Auckland's Law School, Professor Guy Fitti-Sinclair, hosted a workshop foregrounding Pacific-centred understandings of how the Pacific is contending with international law and governance amidst these tensions. So how should we think of the Pacific as a region? Who are the organisations representing the Blue Continent? And is Aotearoa New Zealand a facilitator of Pacific interests or just our own? I spoke with Professor Guy Sinclair to understand more. So you recently led some workshops discussing how the Pacific is engaging with, resisting, reshaping international law, with Pacific perspectives front and centre. Just starting out, can you broadly lay out the state of the Pacific and international law today?
Kia ora, Theo. Thank you so much for having me on. Look, it's a very complex picture, and that's part of what this workshop last week was trying to get a handle on. We framed the workshop as being about Pacific legal orders in the plural, because we don't see that there's a single picture, at least not yet. We don't have that yet in the frame, as it were, a single picture to describe or to analyze. There's multiple different sort of ordering projects going on at the same time. Some of these have long roots in history, and some of them take institutional forms, like Pacific Islands Forum and Pacific Community and the South Pacific, the Secretariat of the Pacific Regional Environment Program. Some of them much more informal. Some of them involve, you know, great powers from the Pacific Rim or beyond. So it's a complex picture. Obviously, the things that grab the headlines these days are things involving either, on the one hand, sort of Chinese engagements in the Pacific, that is, engagements by, you know, the People's Republic of China and its representatives, or on the other hand, you know, responses to that by what we think of as the traditional partners, or, you know, sort of the Western powers, United States, Australia, New Zealand, France, and so on, that are feeling threatened by the Chinese action. So it is a complex picture, and part of what we're trying to do is get a handle on all the different things that are going on. Of course, we weren't able to do that in one workshop. It's going to be a longer project.
So within that Pacific kind of conceptualization, like you've said, when we see the Pacific and how its peoples are framed, it can often be either like a scattered array of islands or as a single monolith. So how can we look at the Pacific as a region, do you think?
Yeah, so I mean, that's part of the challenge, right? I mean, the Pacific Ocean, as we all know, covers a third of the surface of the Earth, right? It's enormously diverse in terms of cultures and languages, histories of colonization and decolonization, ongoing relationships with other powers. So we think, for example, of the influence, especially of United States in the North Pacific and France in sort of Southeast Pacific and Australia perhaps in the West Pacific and so on and so forth. So it's a very complex, diverse region. And so part of the challenge is thinking, how is it possible to bring this region together in any sort of meaningful political as well as, you know, legal sense? And of course, there's been various efforts to do that. And the one that I think is still probably holds the most promise for the present time is this idea of the Blue Pacific Continent, right? This is an idea that emerged from the Pacific Islands Forum. And the idea is that we are not, as a Pacific region, we're not just sort of scattered islands, you know, far-flung islands in an ocean, separated by the ocean, but in fact we are a continent. We should think of ourselves as a continent where the ocean unites us, the ocean connects us. And, of course, a very large part of the territories of many Pacific islands is the ocean, right? So that's a sort of a metaphor, I guess, or a narrative that has been used to try to unite various Pacific island countries in the region. And, you know, with some effect, with some success, but also ongoing challenges, because the world keeps changing and new challenges emerge.
Yeah, and you've mentioned the Pacific Islands Forum amongst some other kind of groupings. What organisations are, would you say, the most kind of prominent in the region? I mean, like, I guess comparable to the EU for Europe or ASEAN for Southeast Asia. And when we look at these kind of groupings, the legacy of colonial kind of separations like Melanesia, Micronesia, Polynesia, do they still play a legacy in how the Pacific kind of is organised?
Yeah, so we had a session at the start of the workshop last Thursday that began with looking at past and present of Pacific regionalism, and it explored some of those histories. So we don't have a regional structure very comparable to the European Union. I mean, that's a highly integrated, highly institutionalized the regional order, you know, with all sorts of legal elements that we just don't have here, like EU law having direct effect and so on. Instead, we have a collection of institutions. We often think of them as the crop agencies, with the Pacific Islands Forum at the apex. So these are the Council of Regional Organizations for the Pacific. So we've got Pacific Islands Forum, we've got the Secretariat of the Environment Program for the Pacific, we've got the Pacific Community, and each of these has its own histories. And as you mentioned, they have colonial histories as well, right? So the very first institution that was created in the post-Second World War years was the South Pacific Community, which is today the Pacific Community, or Secretariat of the Pacific Community. And that was formed by the colonial powers in the Pacific because, of course, only Tonga at that time was independent among the Pacific Island countries. As Pacific Island countries then became independent through the 60s and 70s, there was a push by those countries to have greater autonomy, greater connections with each other, greater voice in the region. And that led to the creation of the Pacific Islands Forum, South Pacific Forum, as it was at that time. And that's much more led by Pacific Island countries, but it still has Australia and New Zealand as members. And as you might imagine, they also want to influence Pacific Island countries through that regional organization. So there's a tension built into even the leading, what we think of as the leading sort of political regional organization, the Forum.
Yeah, and going into that tension, how well heard are the interests of the Pacific and, of course, the Pacific nations within that region in the face of colonial era powers and these newer powers in the region like China and, of course, the US as well?
So it's I think it's a dynamic situation, right? I think there have been various times when Pacific Island leaders have pushed for greater leadership within the forum structures and the other crop agencies. But that's always in tension with, you know, what you might think of as like the realpolitik of the region, right? The Pacific Ocean is bordered by the two great superpowers of today, right? The United States on the one hand and China on the other, not to mention other emerging powers like, you know, Indonesia, and now people talk about the Indo-Pacific, which stretches from India through to the Pacific. So you've got India engaged in this region, and the other colonial powers still have footholds in the Pacific. France still has its colonies, United Kingdom, and so on. So these are powerful states, many of them, you know, much bigger in terms of population, bigger economies, much more militarized than Pacific Island states. So there has to be sort of a clear-eyed assessment of what it is we can do as a region in the face of those powers. And I would say the Pacific, the Blue Pacific continent narrative was in part devised in order to develop a sense of solidarity in the face of precisely those pressures, right? Those pressures from colonial, past colonial and maybe future colonial or, you know, other influential and powerful states. But it's not, you know, it's the story is not over, right? I mean, it's ongoing. There are new institutional sort of forms or quasi-institutional forms emerging, like AUKUS, which then threaten, you know, the Pacific will be prowled again by nuclear-powered submarines, if not nuclear-armed submarines. And that's a real worry for a region that has, you know, prided itself on being, you know, nuclear-free and independent for the last however many years, 40 at least years.
So in this mix, just bringing it back, kind of closing off, what has New Zealand's role been in advancing the interests of the Pacific from a Pacific perspective? I mean, we've got a history and a bit of an ongoing role as a colonial power. Are we facilitators of Pacific interests, or is it more so we're just interested where our particular interests align?
I would again say it's a sort of a mixed story. I mean, I think at times New Zealand has aligned itself quite well with Pacific interests. I mean, the nuclear-free movement is one good example of that. You know, New Zealand has this history of aligning itself with the nuclear-free movement, of bringing these cases to the International Court of Justice about nuclear weapons and so on. On other issues, the story is a little bit more patchy, I would say. New Zealand still negotiates in the climate COPs with the Western powers, and not with the, you know, with the Pacific powers. Not sort of grouped with the Pacific states and other G77 plus China states. So it's patchy, and I think we've seen in the, you know, in the headlines over the last year or two, where some of those tensions have arisen, right, where Pacific states have been trying to navigate these, you know, these pressure points between great powers with the growing influence of China and so on. And New Zealand government has tried to influence them in other directions. So, so I wouldn't say it's a simple story either way. I think there's huge opportunity there for New Zealand, for the New Zealand government to play a leadership role, but I think it has to be a leadership role that involves listening and following, not just sort of directing, because if anything, that's what we think of as the Pacific way, right? That it's consultative and consensus-based.
That was Associate Dean Pacific at Auckland's Law School, Professor Guy Sinclair, on the Pacific as a blue continent, how the Pacific is engaging and contending with international law, and Aotearoa New Zealand's role.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.